Just about every American is familiar with the song, The Battle Hymn of the Republic. Who has not heard that song? Dr. King, in his last speech, the night before he died, recited the first lines of it in his mountaintop speech when he spoke of his possible impending death, proclaiming that I've been to the mountaintop and my eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. What you may not know is that that song has a long history. Its original name was the John Brown Song. Lyrics written by Union officers as they marched against the Confederate Army, meant to insult them and to remind them of John Brown's anti-slavery revolt. Researchers, though, tell us that the tune to that song has a longer history than the lyrics. It is believed that it has been taken from a Negro anti-slavery folk song called Say Brother, which would eventually make its way into Baptist and Methodist religious camp meetings that would spread all over the place. But in 1861, Julia Ward Howe, who was a poet and an abolitionist, visited Washington, D.C., and was encouraged by a friend to write replacement lyrics to the John Brown song. So she did, and that is what is now known as the Battle Hymn of the Republic. With those famous lyrics, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on." These lyrics exchange the militarism of John Brown for the militarization of God. It made God a soldier, and we have been militarizing God and our Lord ever since. It's no wonder that we have a hard time in American culture giving up this idea of separating God, Jesus, and our faith from our culture and politics of violence. For centuries, we've been socialized around these ideas that have a violent, militaristic God who wants to inflict harm on us if we don't get it right. In the gospel, Jesus says to his disciples and to us, "I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when she comes, the Spirit of truth will guide you in all truth." So Jesus knows that we need the Spirit of truth, this person of the Holy Spirit that brings us Jesus' words of truth to us when we need it, to guide us away from falsehoods of our past that are still with us today. So what first truth does she bring us about the message embedded in this song and our violent culture? The truth that God is a loving father and mother. That's who God is. God isn't a military soldier. God isn't marching in our wars, choosing one side over the other. God isn't trampling out human life. God isn't defending our right to bear arms. Jesus is very clear that he is the Prince of Peace, a nonviolent Lord, Messiah, and Savior. Amen. The first reading tells us this Spirit of Truth, this wisdom spirit, is playful, creative, not a violent spirit. The last two lines of the proverb says this. It says, "I was playing on the surface of the earth, and I found delight in the human race." That's the second truth that the Holy Spirit brings us today, that we are not problem children, that humanity delights God, all of humanity. As we look at the struggles in humanity across race and class and sexual identity and social politics, we encounter the falsehoods of the world that try to convince us that somehow God plays favorites, that God prefers white people over people of color, or straight people over gay people, or Christians over any other faith tradition, or Republicans over Democrats. These falsehoods continue to the harm that's inflicted on the human race. And if we're going to finish our equity and justice work, we are being led toward in this moment, we will need the Spirit of truth to guide us to the finish line, to help us call each other to our best selves. She reminds us that there are no gradients of worth within the human family. That means that God finds each of you extraordinary, miraculous, sacred, and special, however you enter the human family. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what mistakes we make, what regrets we're carrying. The Spirit of Truth is speaking to you today, and she is saying, "You are my delight, so get used to it." Jesus in John's gospel for three full chapters, preparing his disciples for his death and for moving forward without him. He knows that they will need time, as we often do, to take in deeper truths. And so he promises to send them the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, to reveal new truths to them little by little. You see, it's important that they didn't forget the lessons that Jesus taught about nonviolence, nonjudgment, forgiveness, service, generosity, kindness, courage, and prayer. The gift of the Holy Spirit is how Jesus was going to guarantee that we don't forget what he taught us. This Spirit of Truth is changing our world through the essence of love, sharing what she knows with us. You know, we have a lot of names for the Holy Spirit: advocate, wisdom, guide, comforter, and truth. We just buried Robert Stein, Tina Stein's father and Ron Stein's brother. The family told me that Robert spent his life sharing stories and anecdotes and lessons with his family right up to the very end, passing on what he learned to them. I asked them, what lessons did he leave you with? And they told me he left us with a hard work ethic, taught them to always try new things, to love your family, to realize that family is the most important thing, so don't take it for granted. Robert passed it on to his family, but where did he get it from? From the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. You see, this Spirit doesn't just talk to clergy or religious people. This person of the Trinity of God talks to all of us all the time. She reminds us of important truths to move forward in our lives. Have you ever felt guided by this Spirit of Truth in your life? Maybe you received a creative idea, a solution to a problem came to you, an insight came to you that you didn't have before, a deeper understanding filled you. Well, that's the work of the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. Last week, I felt guided by the Holy Spirit, as Jesus promised, when I welcomed a group of four college girls into my home from the University of Colorado. They came on a work-study internship and began going around our towns to Brighton and Irondequoit and Webster and Henrietta to inquire about applying for permits to sell educational materials door-to-door to help children have more educational success. And to my surprise, they returned to me to tell me that in Irondequoit and Webster, the girls of color encountered bigotry, bias, racism, and a culture of inhospitality and defensiveness, ending in being told that they would not grant them a permit. And so this news meant that they would have to move out of my house and go farther out to find work in places like Leroy, York, and Brockport. So as I became increasingly angry at how they were treated, I could feel the Holy Spirit guiding us. I could hear the voice of the Spirit reminding me of Jesus' words: children are gifts from God. We must be given to hospitality. Welcome the stranger. All of a sudden, I knew what to do. I put up a post notifying the online community of what was going on. The amount of support and response far outweighed the rejection that they had encountered. I began leaving messages for town supervisors and messages requesting a meeting. The Spirit was at work, using us to remind our towns of Jesus' words of welcome, of ending cultural violence. The Henrietta Town Supervisor and Rhonda Coit Town Supervisor contacted me, and they are now looking into what happened. We are embarking on a path for the Spirit of Truth to guide us to new policies, new practices, and structures, to a higher truth that welcomes everybody. Jesus gives us a powerful gift today, a spirit that can help us dismantle the camps that we create, the ability to trust the moments that we're being held in, to honor each other's humanity while working through our social problems and our fears with compassion and wisdom. You may know that in this community, over 25 people have been killed in Rochester this year. 21 of them were shot, including a 14-year-old, a 16-year-old, and a 17-year-old gunned down as he got off of a school bus. The Spirit of Truth is speaking to us that we must change our culture of violence. Can you hear her? Perhaps she is asking us to question our choice of using words like honor and code and loyalty as the backbone of Americans' culture of militarism, which has found its way to the streets upholding violence. These notions are costing us our kids, who believe that it's honorable, it's some kind of street code, a matter of loyalty, in taking the life of another child or another person. As a nation, we have framed the price of freedom in the dropping of bodies, and so have our kids. Jesus gives us the gift of the Spirit of Truth to change our world, because he is a man of truth, and he needs us to follow his lead. He doesn't frame freedom in terms of violence. He frames it in terms of truth and truth-telling. He says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In a classic film, A Few Good Men, you may remember that film where Tom Cruise plays a military lawyer at a court-martial hearing, and Jack Nicholson is playing a colonel on trial. And Jack Nicholson says to Tom Cruise, "You want answers?" Tom Cruise says, "I want the truth." And Jack Nicholson delivers that famous line, "You can't handle the truth." Well, Jesus believes that we can handle the truth of creating a nonviolent world, one that is loving, that is kind, that is just, but we must be willing to change our trajectory. So maybe it's time to give up buying violent video games, hunting rifles, assault weapons, and handguns, to let our land rest from the trauma of violence. Perhaps we can rest from watching violent movies, listening to violent music, and allow ourselves to be guided to the truth of peace. This year, our mayor set aside $5 million in funding for the creation of Rochester's Peace Collective. It will provide funding for local organizations who are providing innovative and proven programs that work to prevent violence. We need that and so much more. I was on a call this week with police officers, faith leaders, politicians, and community leaders to talk about gun violence and the concerns our community has for solutions. On the call, we learned that the problems of gun violence is multi-pronged. It will require changes in policing policies, judicial discretion, and community investments, and family support, and so on. So we decided to set up a meeting with court judges as a step for a conversation. But one shocking revelation for me was to learn that we lack a true anti-violence program in the city that actually takes on challenging the frameworks and the ideology of violence as a solution to social problems. We reinforce those frameworks in our education system by the way we teach our history. We have a problem teaching a race history, but we have no problem teaching violent history. We challenge this notion and we uphold this notion of violence in our national protests, where people get into the streets and refuse to relinquish the right to bear arms, and the cultural violence that we tolerate in our systems and our structures. We have violence prevention programs which address it after the fact, and domestic violence programs, but no program that takes on the framework and acknowledges the power of socialization around it. The Gandhi Institute is the closest we have gotten, and yet we know we need to make a deeper dive, given our history and where we are today. So, what if we had a violent socialization recovery program for our entire community? I could use one, and maybe you could too. How many times have we been in a meeting or a conversation with someone and become so frustrated that we say to ourselves or we think, oh, I could just kill them? These socializations have shaped us from the time we were children. They impact how we engage our neighbors, our children, the people in our structures, and our world. Our world is grieving right now over the rash of gun violence sweeping across the country and in our community. And if we stay just in the grief of it, it's hard to remember other truths and become easy to just shut down and feel discouraged and feel hopeless. But Jesus has given us the Spirit of Truth to help us get ourselves out of this mess. It will be hard work, but she comes to teach us a new way to love our world, to love ourselves, and to love one another. There's a good friend of mine named Rena Golden, who I often call the goddess of love for the Black community. Rena told me recently that she rarely calls the police on her Black neighbors, who often show up in cars late at night, blasting their music loud in the parking lot across the street from her house, for fear of what would happen to them in the system. She said when they get too loud, she just simply leans out the window, and instead of being antagonistic, she yells, "Hey, my beautiful Black people, I'm getting ready to go to bed. What y'all doing?" And she said they will often say, "We're gonna turn our music down, ma'am, and we're gonna leave in a few minutes." And I thought to myself, Rena represents the voice of the Holy Spirit. As our world continues to turn up on violence, can't you hear the Spirit of Truth leaning into human race, and saying, "Hey, my beautiful people, I'm getting ready to lead you to the truth of nonviolence and anti-oppression and hospitality and full inclusion of all humanity for a more loving and a just world. What y'all doing?"